You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The forests of British Columbia are an essential resource for the well-being of entire ecosystems, including the people who live in them. From the point of view of governments, they have been a major source of wealth in the province. Last week, the BC Liberals introduced legislation which will significantly change how the forests are managed. Tucked inside a much larger omnibus bill, the amendment to the BC Forest Act will allow companies to change their licenses from ones based on volume of wood harvested to ones based on total land area to be logged. If passed, the legislation would give private companies much more power to manage Crown land and make it more difficult to protect the environment. To tell us how, we have on the line Joe Foy. He's a longtime activist and environmentalist, and he's also National Campaign Director of the Wilderness Committee. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Now, I don't really understand what I read there in my introduction about the difference between volume-based licenses and based on land area. Could you explain that to me?
Sure. So British Columbia, sort of in a global context, is a pretty special place. Over 90% of the land area of British Columbia are public lands. And a great deal of that is forest land. Private companies operate on that forest land, but the vast majority of forest land is public land. There are several ways the government manages, the provincial government manages those forest lands on the people's behalf. But two big ways are the timber supply areas, which, as you mentioned, are volume-based, and the tree farm license areas, which are area-based. Timber supply areas make up about 80% of the forest lands, and tree farm licenses currently make up about 20%. The issue is, on a tree farm license, or on a timber supply area, a number of private companies will log over a large area of the public's forest land. They'll get a right to cut a certain amount of trees. If things change, if it's found that the area is overlogged or an area needs to be protected, those companies will be asked or made to reduce their level of logging if the government wishes. In a tree farm license, though, the company is given exclusive area. So it's much more like private property. It's not private property, but they have additional private property rights. And if an area needs to be taken from the tree farm license in order to protect, let's say, a drinking water supply for a community, or to resolve First Nations title and rights issues, or to protect endangered species, the timber company would likely need to be compensated in dollars, a lot of dollars. So we argue that tree farm licenses or area-based tenure gives the company much more private property-like rights. We say this is a bad thing because makes it harder for democratically elected governments in British Columbia to actually change forest policy, because it makes it more expensive. That's why we oppose creating more tree farm licenses.
So currently the system is that the vast majority of public lands are on the volume-based model. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And this new legislation is proposing changing everything to tree farms?
Well, what it does, no, not right off the bat. What it does is it makes it very easy and simple for the Minister of Forest, for the government, to allow a private company to convert their volume-based tenure to a tree farm. So right now it's not so easy, and this legislation makes it very, very easy. So that's a danger, and we've seen this happen before. Back in 1989, the Wilderness Committee and many other organizations in our society, from First Nations to environmental groups to workers groups, came together to fight off a similar proposal back in 1989. So this isn't the first time that the timber industry has made a grab for the public forest land, and I'm thinking we're going to have to rally again to prevent it again.
Now, you mentioned that it makes it much harder to protect certain areas. Can you just go into a bit more detail about that? What is the effect if you, say, want to protect a watershed, as you said, or a stream?
Well, sure. I mean, right now, for instance, half the people in the province have a say on what happens in the forest where they get their drinking water. Well over 2 million people have a say, and those 2 million people live in Vancouver and Victoria, where those two cities have control of the valleys where the water comes from, and they've decided not to have logging in them. But the other half of the province doesn't have that say, and so we argue there needs to be new legislation that would allow every community to say what does or doesn't happen in the valleys where they access their drinking water. If those valleys are in tree farm licenses, it likely would require that in order to get logging out of the drinking water supply, as Vancouver and Victoria have done, it would likely require quite a bit of compensation to the logging company. If it's in a timber supply area, then the reduction in cut would be shared amongst logging companies, and likely would not require compensation or as much compensation. Same goes with endangered species legislation. If forests need to be set aside, if new protected areas are to be made, if forests are to be protected to conserve fish habitat, if it's inside a tree farm license, likely going to be more expensive than if it's outside a tree farm license. So it makes it more difficult and expensive for society to make the needed changes that we believe need to be changed.
Now, much of what we've been referring to as public land is actually on unceded First Nations territory. What difference would these changes make to First Nations people trying to get title to those territories?
Well, in my description of public land, what it means is companies or corporations don't control it. So in my view, public land means that society, our democratically elected leaders, can make decisions. And many British Columbians want those decisions to be honorable, want to resolve the issue of title and rights so that we can live together in honor. And I would argue that having forests in area in volume-based tenure, not in tree farms, makes it easier and less expensive to resolve issues of title and rights with First Nations.
Now, we've got an election coming up. Do we know if this legislation has a chance of passing before that election?
Well, it's very interesting. There's an issue within an issue. So there is an argument that this legislation at first is all about granting a specific tree farm license to a specific company, and that would be Hampton Affiliates, who are seeking additional timber up by the Burns Lake area. So if this legislation comes on the floor to debate, there's likely to be a lot of debate from a lot of different angles. There is some say that this legislation will not make it to the floor. I would say that this legislation is so sweeping; it would be the biggest change in forest management policy in half a century, that everyone needs to be very vigilant and make their views known that we do not want the public forest land privatized.
Now, if people were to go to your website, would they find a way through your website to make their views known?
Yes, they would. We have an action center on our website And one of our actions allows you to write your own letter to both the government and the official opposition, and in your own words say what you think about this issue, about privatizing the public's forest land. I encourage people to go to our website and to do this. This is a very, very important issue. We could very well win this issue. If the government gets cold feet and it doesn't make it to the floor to debate, then essentially we've done it again. We've held it off again. But if this gets through, this will affect us all for a long, long time.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Joe Foy. He's National Campaign Director for the Wilderness Committee.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.